Thank you, Doug. As always, first of all, for allowing us to still be on time side of life for the purpose of coming together as his baptized children into his son's body, which is the church, to offer up another worship service according to scripture. John 4:23-24, by the Spirit of Christ and by the truth of the Word, the only way is acceptable to Him. We know today is one of those days that have been designated by man as the brother. So, rightly describes it as one of those abominable lie days known as Easter by man who will have the Lord's Day and congregations being participants of lies under the name of Christ. And under the most important thing that's ever been done for mankind, under the name of Christ. The death being the start of it, the burial, and the resurrection. I skipped straight to the death because there was nothing good about his life here. Being born in a feed trough, fox having holes and birds having nests, but the Son of Man not having a place to lay his head. That's basic for us in the flesh, a place to lay our head. He never had that. So I skipped and go straight to the death. Because without the death, which I don't know anyone, starting with myself, who would have done it for someone like me, who would not have the appreciation enough to just be obedient most of the time. Just most of the time. I wouldn't have done it for that, for someone like me. But him doing that, dying and then rising again, which I'm sure he was ready to do that and go back where he belonged. Where he belonged. And when I look at myself in my life and say, really? You probably should have never left. The only reason why I can't say that is because God saw fit for him to leave. And so he should have. But looking at me and the appreciation I show in my life, as much as I think I try, could do so much better. And so today, the thanks that he gets is to be associated with a bunch of lies. You know, with some rabbits laying colored eggs. Balls, cooked eggs. And that's the appreciation he gets. And he's supposed to be happy with that. The one day that has been designated to worship him. And we know what our lives are, the other six. We know how much, the percentage that goes for him, what he wishes and wills, the other six. But we'll take the one day that he asked for and celebrate him with a bunch of lies under the false pretense that it's worshiping him and it's something good for him. I just would ask that everybody would get a chance to look at the brother's document on that. And the follow-up that will be coming about who is the father of lies, of the lie. And then we'll take it. Bring it to the Lord's Day and be participants of it. The Lord can't have one day without we bringing Satan and giving it to Satan. Knowing that, I mean, how much of the other six belongs to Satan, he's ruling those. He just asked for one. And the so-called church is participants of giving it to Satan, the father of lies. Moving on. Today's lesson was brought about actually as a document for those who are of the world that I was going over some things with and trying to expose them to the truth. And being about what Christ came to be about and what he was sent to be about by God. And that is the saving of souls. And unfortunately, you know, that's not what's going on now. And I guess we should be aware of that by Revelation. It's not on the documents 12 and 9, but Scripture warns us that the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels was cast out with him. And you know, if God says that's what he was cast out to do, I guess we can rest assured that is what he's doing. That's what he's doing. And we need not look far to see it. And just mention it, that today is supposed to be something that's good for God about his son, Christ, and the process that God put in place, the greatest thing to ever happen for mankind. Allowing him to have a chance to spend eternity with God, reconciling him back to God through his evil and stubborn, non-compliant ways, to reconcile him back, give him another chance, mankind. And we yet, Satan yet deceiveth us to think that what's going on today is a good thing for God through Christ. It's happening. So just another one of those things that was doing that this was happening at the time was the prayer thing. And I've just heard so many people pray about it. And I'm thinking about getting this other job, and I'm just going to pray about it. I'm thinking about getting this house and moving. I'm just going to pray about it. You know, everybody pray about it. And, you know, it's just another one of Satan's ways of deceiving the whole world. It's one thing that have been consistent throughout the time of mankind since his creation. It started with Adam and Eve, who had access to God because we were made in his own image. We were to be about God. But when disobedience came, they were cast out. When we looked at the children of Israel, they became the people of God. Everybody did not have never had access to God past the time of Adam and Eve and Noah. See, when the world was wiped out, notice the changes. He chose the people of Israel, and they had access to God. The whole world did not. But man, Satan, deceiving the whole world, would have mankind to think that everybody has access. All you have to do is believe. If you're not an atheist, then you're good. You got access to God. But we You know, they Satan makes sure that James 2 is not done in that way. It says, the devils, if ye believe in what God, ye do well. Because that's a start. You have to believe in something to obey it, huh? That's why Hebrews says, without faith it's impossible to please God. But he that believes must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. So it starts with believing in it. But faith without works is dead, James continues to tell us. But Satan has the world deceived, thinking, well, okay, you believe in God. Well, the devils believe and tremble, but they don't obey. So everybody starting from the children of Israel, when he chose them as his people, if you didn't follow Moses now out of Egypt, what happened to you? Didn't have access to God. It was access to God through Moses, following Moses. Today, it's Christians. And we will see at the end of the lesson how we get to be have access to God as Christians through Christ. But that's Satan's deceiving the whole world. But mankind to think that everybody who say they believe in God has access to God. So all I need to do is pray about it. Pray about it. Who's listening? Well, let's let the scripture answer that. The Lord is far from the wicked. Proverbs 15:29. But he heareth the prayer of the righteous. That's who's listening. He's listening to the righteous. He's far from the wicked. You don't have the access to him. There's no access to him. Far from the wicked. And how mankind, well, I know how mankind can think that he can live any type of lifestyle every day of his life. No commitment to God every day of his life, and then run across something and say, well, I pray about it. How can we only Satan deceiving the whole world? That whole world, that world there means the inhabitants of earth. Mankind, the men of earth. Mankind. That's the only way that can happen. Really. But that's what happens. You know, the only time anybody go to worship God and have anything to do with God would be today. the other 51 Lord's days, nothing to do with it. But then you just hear them say, pray about it. I'm going to pray about it. Really? And we think God's listening? Listen, the Lord talking about self, the external Jehovah. The Jewish national name of God. Lord. No, God. It's far. That means distance. From a distance. Now, he recognizes everybody is here. He recognizes not just man, everything on earth. Not just mankind. And the truth of the matter is, if we're not of Christ, then we're just another thing on earth. Far from the wicked. Look from the wicked. Morally wrong. An actively bad person. Condemned, guilty. Ungodly. Wicked man. That did wrong. That do wrong. But we have those who have. And what determines right and wrong? God's word. It is God, huh? Anybody who's worked know that you have the company that you work for have a handbook. They have guidelines. They determine what's right and wrong for their job. Nobody will argue that. Nobody will argue that. Oh, here goes Satan again. Got people deceived. But some man can tell us what's right or wrong when we're doing right and wrong when it comes to God. He's far from the wicked. He don't hang like that. That's not what he's about. He despises that wickedness. And we should also, as a matter of fact, he tells us to abhor it. But he heareth, listen at that here, to listen. You see, watch, the brother says it all the time. That's the reason why Matthew 7 says, now the many will be gone. That path that leads to destruction. Because what the many ain't trying to listen to the word, to what God has to say to them through the word. But they expect that God, the many expect that God is always ready to listen to them. Come on. They not trying to hear God's word. But they just think they can pull up at any time. They never trying to hear it. We have those who literally never try to hear it. It has nothing to do with God. But they think God, but pray about it. And then you have most who want to do it their way. Not listen to how God says do it, but want to do it their way. But then want God to listen to them. But he hear it, he, to listen, give heed, and to grant request. The prayer, hear a prayer. Our way of communicating with him. And the lesson's going to break down how that has to happen. Because these filthy rags don't get to have direct access. And we should be on our knees every day that he put something in place that'll give us access, period. Any kind of way. But we sure don't deserve it. But he heareth the prayer of the righteous. What would be the righteous? Who is the righteous? Let's see, Brother McAllister determined who's righteous. I don't think so. I know not. No man determines who is righteous. As the brother liked to say, it's been written and sent to press. What's righteous? The righteous, just, lawful, righteous. Righteous as justified and vindicated by God. Well, that makes sense to me. I know the company I work for. Determines whether I'm right in it or not. I don't expect Shell. I do what I want to where I'm working. And then say, Shell says that I'm doing right. You know that's not going to work. I'm going to have to pull Burke Center's handbook. Satan can have us so deceived that we can think that we'll determine whether we're right and just in what we do or not, or some other man. You know, I don't care how much money we pay him, he still can't make that determination and be right about it. Now, there's plenty making that determination, but the bottom line, they're not the ones we're going to have to stand before to be judged. That's why it's going to, the scripture says that many in that day, Matthew, Lord said it, will say unto me, Lord, did I not cast out many devils and do many wonderful works? What is he going to say? Depart from me. I never knew you. And that never mean never at any time. Because some man has said that we are Christ. Righteous as justified. Look at Webster's definition of justified. Proved. To prove to be just, right, or righteous. And vindicated by God. Look at that, vindicated. To confirm. Substantiated by God. And that can only come through God's word. Let's see what he means when he says. So we've already got an idea of that just anybody can pray to him and he hear it. He said, he hear the prayer of the righteous. Do we not determine who we're going to hear? We'll tell you in a New York minute. I ain't trying to hear that. Get on. Move around. We get to determine that, but I don't get it. Why God don't? How come he can and he got more power than anybody? But that's not what's out there. Pray about it. You have those telling those that's supposed to be religious, telling those that they don't even just pray about it. Don't know what condition they're in. My question is, who's listening? Well, we know one who's always listening to. We know one who listens to the wicked. Because he is the wicked. Look at far from the wicked. Psalms 10, 1 through 3. Why standest thou far off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked, in his pride, of course, the psalmist here, he's actually dealing with those who are wicked. Watch this. He does stand far off, but he won't. Watch how he deal with them. The wicked, in his pride, doth persecute the poor. Well, God sees that. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. Now look at it in his pride. We just talked about that. His arrogance. How arrogant must we be to tell God who we've listened to? We don't tell people walking in the flesh who make them listen to them. In his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. Yes. The devices. The purpose. See, in their own purpose, in their plot. And their plot is to tell everybody that they're good so they can fill up their buildings and fill up that offering tray. That's the plot. And then the bigger my building get, the bigger I get. And so we just tell everybody, we sell a doctrine where everybody is good. Everybody has access to God. Let them be taken in their devices that they have imagined. Thinking that they have imagined. To plot or contrive, usually in a malicious sense. Cunning. It's part of the word cunning man, workman. See the cunningness that's going on out here. See, I'm just saying, everybody think, oh, you're good. Pray about it. You got access to God. Just pray about it. That let them be taken in their devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasted of his heart's desire. See if this doesn't sound the way it happens. You know, their desire, their wish, their longings. Boasting. And a lot of times it starts to where it sounds like it's spiritual. We get to tear down this building and build a bigger one. Bring in the congregation and grow, and we'll grow this congregation. Yeah, just everybody come on in. Yeah, I'm glad you're good. Come on in. But the plot is, you're good, you're of God, but when we have to tear down the building like the rich man did and build bigger barns to bring the people in, then you have to buy more offering trays. That's best, right? That goes with that. And if that doesn't come with it, just the idea that you're giving people what they want to hear, scratching their ears, hearing something desirous, which is, you're of God, you have access to God. So pray about whatever you need to pray about, and he's listening, and he grants your request. But the life you live could have nothing to do with God. Who's listening? He's not. They boast about their heart's desire. And bless it the covetous. Think about it. be adored. See that bless? To bless. To be blessed. To be adored. They adore the covetous. That's why my pastor, I want him to have this. I want him to have that. And the bigger they become, the more stuff they have, the more richer they get, the more they're liked. They are adored. The covetous. Look at that covetous. To be greedy. To gain wrongfully or by violence. Greedy. To gain wrongfully. And that is by through their plots. Through their devices. To tell people that have people thinking that they have access to God, that God is listening to them if they when they want to pray to Him and expect that their request will be granted. See, they and blessed the covetous. This is what the wicked does. How many out there are you gonna get in trouble about when you go to talk about their pastor? You get in trouble. They'll watch it. My pastor this and my pastor that. Bless it. Adore it. He said, whom the Lord abhorreth. Well, wait a minute. That's how he feel about it. Now, what we bless, and if he abhor it, then sound like to me, we need to be talking to the ones that we adore, right? That's the one that's going to be listening. The one that abhorreth what we adore. It don't make sense for him to listen to us do it. See that abhor? To spurn, to contemn, to despise, to abhor. And Merriam's definition to spurn is to reject with disdain. He can't stand them. Can't stand that. That contempt, to view or treat with contempt, to despise. But those are the very ones that's leading the prayers and telling you to pray about it. Who's listening? I don't think one. That's the problem now. You know, we know. That's how we can tell when somebody don't like us. They don't listen to us. That's what normally happens. You despise somebody. Who listens to me? I never listened to one verse of country music. Never. When I was into music, not one lyric, one note, because I despised it. Not listening to it. People don't listen to what they despise. But that's what he despised. One that boasts about their heart's desire, and then blesseth the covetous. Let me read it. Pray about it. I think so. Listen, despise it. So standing for the wicked through the pride of his countenance. And listen, watch this now. Will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. But when they need something, pray about it. Through the pride of his countenance, through the pride of his grandeur, his arrogance, his haughtiness, his loftiness, his pride of his countenance, his face, even how he looks. Up there in that suit, got that gold flashing. Been to the barber shop, got everything tidied up, just right, and gold teeth. Hey, listen. Just through how he look, will not seek out the God. Look at that seek. To consult. To inquire. Amen. But then when you need something, I pray about it. Really? Come on. I'm going to consult God. Because I'm too lofty. I'm all of that. You won't consult God, to inquire of him. God is not in all his thoughts. Whoa. Not some. All. The whole of his thoughts. His purpose. His discretion. In his device, his plot. See, God ain't in those devices and plots. Look at that discretion. An individual choice or judgment. They're not being done according to God's word. Oh, yeah. That's why, really? And he hears it? Pray about it? Oh, he's not listening. I'm sorry to bring the bad news. On down to the fifth verse in that 10th chapter of Psalms. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at him. Now look, his ways, look at that. His habit, a manner, his habit, the way he lives his life, used the course of life, are always grievous. Think of that. To pervert it. Not according to God's word. As for all his enemies, he puffed at them. To puff. To scoff at. Yeah. To scoff at him, you know, to bring him to snare, to speak up. He said in his heart, I shall not be moved. Sound familiar, brother? I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. Look at that definition of adversity. Distress, misery, calamity, evil, distress, adversity. In other words, the S word, suffering. Amen. Made sense to me. It still makes sense to why the few and what we run into when you bring the word. For I shall what? Never be suffering. Never be in adversity. Look at that adversity. Webster's definition of adversity. We have the Hebrew definition of it. Distress, misery, calamity, distress. Webster's definition of adversity even. Hard times. Misfortune. Listen. Made sense to me why we run into what we run into. But if you're never going to be in any distress or hard time, well, what do you need to pray to God for? Yeah. What people are, what they do want to pray to Him for. The covetous stuff. The things that makes us covetous. Because you ain't there in hard time. Those of us who strive to live the life, we understand the need to pray for God for strength.
Amen.
To continue to live through the suffering, the distress, because the opposite of never being in adversity is always being in adversity. One way or another, here it comes.
Amen.
Whatever you try to do, because you try to do the right thing according to Scripture. And when we don't and fall short of not doing it, you're still in adversity because it's on your mind that you didn't do it.
Amen.
Think about it. Made sense to me. So then we need that prayer to God. We need Him to be listening. Because if He ain't and granting it to us, then we'll end up like everybody else. Never being in adversity. After thinking, I'm like, you know, that makes sense. If you're one of these, ain't gonna move. Either you ain't fixing to change. Because you ain't gonna never deal with no stress, adversity. Well, what do you need to pray to God for? What would He need to listen at you for? Because all you'd be praying to Him for is what most are doing it for. Things that will have them covetous. Think about it. So He don't have no reason to listen to you.
Amen.
I read that, I got to take it. Wow. Let's listen at that. He saith in his mind, I shall not be moved. That means you ain't fixing to change me. I ain't changing. Because I ain't going to never deal with any hard time. Misery. Injury or misfortune. No reason to hear him. No reason to hear him. His mouth, being his mouth, is full of cursing and deceit. You see it? When you in them straits, and you know them suffering, you catch yourself, you want to say that curse word, the bad words. Cursing, execration. That definition of to denounce as evil or detestable. And deceit and fraud. Hey, whatever it takes to keep me from having any hard times. If I can scheme some more, if I can be deceitful, whatever it takes, because I ain't never going to deal with no hard times. That just ain't going to happen. Does that not look like what the world says now? Pray for it that you don't. No, it's just the opposite. That is the Christian life. Pray for the strength that you're going to need to be in it and stay in it. Amen. With all your faults. And fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. Trouble, mischief, and vanity. Trouble of iniquity, wickedness. What do you need to pray to God for? That's his life. You think God listening to that? When he done told us that through much tribulation, we shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. When he done told us in his word that as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. And then we're going to be able to pray to him that we have no heart and no suffering. And he's going to hear that. No, he's not in the damning business.
Amen.
It's another one that does that.
Amen.
And that's the one who's listening.
Amen.
I'm sorry, but it's just the truth. Psalms 34:16. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. He's not listening. He's not listening. He's cutting them off. Even the remembrance of them. Psalm 73:27. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. They that are far from thee, remote, that are far, shall perish. That is to wander away, lose oneself, to perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sorry, but notice that terminology. Going, them that go a-whoring from. Well, if you're going from him, why is he listening to you? Look at that. I thought that was very interesting. It says, them that thou hast destroyed, to put to an end, to cut off, to destroy, to exterminate, to extirpate. And that Webster's definition of extirpate, to destroy completely. Well, I don't think you can hear something that's destroyed, can you? It's not there. Them that go a-whoring. But look at what's underlined. It's figuratively, you know, to commit fornication, harlot, to play the harlot, to be unfaithful to God, to commit idolatry. The Jewish people being regarded as the spouse of Jehovah, as Christians are the wife of Christ. Very good definition. That's just the truth. But we want to go a-whoring after everything that has to do with Satan in the world. Live a life of whoring for the world. And then turn around and pray. pray about it. Well, you went from him. So then pray to the one that you're whoring with. We don't have a choice as to who's going to be listening. That's we can choose to pray to who we want to. But who's listening is the key. That's the lie that's being put out there. That we have, everybody has access to God to pray to him, and he's listening. 138:6. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth what? Afar off. Remember, that's the one that, you know, he's far off, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Proud. What are we being taught? What is the world being taught? To have the pride and to show that by going after these worldly things. That's why the countenance of him that he talked about, that wicked, will not see God. God is not in his thoughts. He's far off. Once again, let's just go here and make sure we understand. God don't put us far off. We put ourselves, we go far off from him.
Amen.
See, that's what we need to make sure that we get. Because we know man. No. It's our own choices that puts us far off. Man, Adam and Eve, was made in his own image for him. It's the choice of disobedience to do exactly what happened in the garden. Who came along? Satan. And choosing to follow him. And what happened? Get gone. Only because of the choice you made that takes us far off from him. Because the bottom line is, we're not going to make him, we're not going to decide what he deals with. We'll read about what's going to be in him. Matthew 25:44-45. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Who goes away? The ones who does wrong. But the righteousness is always with him. That's where life eternal is with him. Everlasting punishment, bruh. You know, that's one of Satan's things out there, where he's deceiving the whole world. Because some of them are saying we're going to burn up. But the word says everlasting, without end, never to cease. Never to cease, everlasting.
Amen.
Punishment, penal infliction. You know that root word of penalty? The penalty for what we chose while we were here. And when we chose to be wicked and be afar off from him, then that's where we're going to spend eternity, afar off from him. Punishment, torment. Well, like the brother always say, how much more of a just and fair God can he be than to give us what we choose? Ain't that what we want? Because you know we groan. You know, we want what we want. Now, don't nobody tell us what. I know what I want. Okay. The brother is right. He is so right when he say that. Okay. Well, don't be mad at me. I'm just. I'm right. I'm going to give you what you want, what you choose. But by the same token, you're going to also understand I'm the same way. And I don't choose to listen to the wicked. But once again, that can only be mankind. He want what he want. Mankind want what he want. He wants to determine what he doing, what he want. But the true Almighty, he don't get to do that. So he gonna listen to me. Well, that must be the mentality. That must be the mentality. Because all 51 Lord's days, you're watching games and everything else. But the day will come up and end. And then, all through the week, something will come up, and I'll pray about it. Who's listening? Ephesians 2:12-13. That at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. He's talking to the Gentiles who were not God's people as the Jews. Once again, what I said from the beginning, and did not have access to God. Mm-hmm. See, always had those who had access to him and those who didn't. In a situation where all of you have access through following him. Amen. Just like the Jews had to do. And if you stayed back in Egypt, you did not have access. But still at that, when they were following him, and that's why they had to walk, got a chance to walk through on dry land through the sea. And those who wouldn't have access to him drowned when it closed on them. But still, when they got out there, they wanted to complain about no water, no food. Amen. No water, no food. And they, and which, work with me here. You're going to have to understand. Here come my whooping. Because here we do, the ones who do have access, like they had access, didn't have the faith to believe and pray to him, having the access, and knowing that he would take care of the food and the water. There's my whooping. I'll keep it to me. But there's where the church comes in at. The ones who do have the access. Once again, that is so Satan. Mm-hmm. The very ones who do, here they go. They were, well, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? We stayed in Egypt. With the access. Say today, we have those of the church today who have the access to God and act like they can't beat things in this world that those who don't have access to God beats. Amen. It's a sin and a shame. And it doesn't make the church look good at all. With the access. Or do? Maybe that's the question. Or do? Have the access. Telling them here, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, being the Jews, and strangers from the covenant of the promise that was under the Old Testament to the Jews, having no hope and without God in the world. What did he start out with? There's always been. There has never been a time, as Adam and Eve and Noah, after he wiped out the world, that everybody in the world had access to God. Now we have access by obedience, but just to live however we want to live? All people weren't always, they have never been like that since then. And that's the deception that Satan is using. That everybody's of God. So pray about it. He's listening. And so the one that they do have access to, which is Satan, is the one who's granting them the prayers. You know the one that spiritual wickedness in high places? The God of this world? Well, that's the life that is being chosen. The life of this world that has not been in Christ. We'll get to that at the end. So that's the only access you have. That's who's listening. No, who's not? Because he said he's far off. Wicked. The whole world alive and wicked to him. Wicked. Far off. and without God in the world. If we see it, we'll read it. Yeah, everybody don't have access to it. Now, there's the plan there to get access to it. But it's like it has always been. Without obedience to what he has laid out, we don't have the access. And I don't care what no man says. But now, how? In Christ Jesus. See, but we have some that have nothing to do with Christ Jesus. Listen, we can say whatever we want to say to give us access. That's too bad. That don't make it so. I can tell everybody in here. Here's my pin number to my card. Go down to each one of you and pull out $1 million apiece. Go. Go do it. Go do it. And what's going to happen? Everybody's going to end up in jail. You know, use that card and they know it ain't in nothing. Hey, wait a minute. $1 million, what are they doing? But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, still far off if we're not in him and don't have access to it. Pray about it. He's not listening that far off. At a distance. Listen, gotta be at a distance because he wants to be there for us. Because he's not willing that any should perish. But until we do what he tells us, do it like he tells us, do it far off. Not listening. Not trying to hear you. Can't. Or made nigh. How? By the blood of Christ. That nigh. Near. See, it made near. Because we're far off at a distance until then. But through the blood of Christ, we made near. Look at that definition. Those who are near of access to God. I didn't make that up. I didn't write that in there. To make nigh. You see, but unless that has been done, we have no access to God. Amen. I don't care whose sellers we do. Pray about it. Who's listening? This is how Satan has got the whole world deceived. Because they're saying, oh yeah, just pray about everybody good, everybody good, everybody has access to God. Just believe and let him into your heart. Nah. We got to get into something. See, that's just so man. Let him into. No, we got some doing to do. Gracious. He ain't done enough. He came down here and put on this filth. And walk next to us. That's degrading in itself.
Amen. Amen,
brother. I'm telling you, what more do you have to do? And then live and die like that. And we still and let him into your heart. Don't want to do nothing. Let. No, do. I always want somebody else to do. Then we want to pray about it. And we got to do again. What do we do? Let. You have to excuse me, but it's frustrating.
It is.
Ephesians 2, 17 through 22. And came and preached peace to you, which were afar off. Talking about the Lord. And to them that were nigh. Listen, to both. But there is always, notice there's still always some who are far off. Everybody don't have the access. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Through him. So, you know, meaning, without being through him, we don't have the access. The brother was saying, why he said in John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But no, that's not what it was. You know, just everybody got access. So just pray about it. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners. Listen, the fact of the matter is, until this has been done, you're strangers and foreigners. With no access. Who's listening? He ain't. Not the strangers and foreigners. Those who are nigh, yes. He heareth the prayer of the righteous. Now you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. Gentiles. Well, now you are. You wasn't at first because you wasn't Jews. You wasn't part of his chosen. You didn't have access. But through the blood of Christ, which is all of us Gentiles, we are fellow citizens now with the saints of the household of God. Ain't in the house. Don't have no access. Ain't listening. Let me just tell you. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. As the brother liked to say, Christ, 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 Christ. But you have those who don't even recognize Christ as being the Son of God. Just another prophet. And they just are praying to Allah. Well, now, it's just the truth. As a matter of fact, it's no more against them as much as it is against the church. Amen. Who say that they do believe Christ is the Son of God. But the fact of the matter is, it's just not happening. Who's listening? He's not. He hears the ones that through Christ have access by one Spirit unto him. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple, where? In the Lord. Not in the house, not in the Lord. Ain't listening. In whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through that big ass Spirit. Got no access if it hadn't been through Christ. Colossians 1:21-22. And you that were sometime alienated. Look at that definition of alienated. To alienate, to be shut out from one's fellowship and intimacy, to a strange way, to be non-participant, be alien. Well, let's say that the hard naked truth is non-participant. We're non-participant of God. Then how do we expect for him to be listening to a prayer? He's not. He's hearing the prayer of the righteousness. The righteous. How do you know somebody who's non-participant? And that's the life that's being chosen to live. Have no participation in godly things at all. Spiritual things at all. Let's think about it. But then the ones that you never hear, I'm just being honest. I've been around them where I never hear nothing spiritual at all. If you try to talk to them about conversations, they're not about anything spiritual at all. But then the next thing, I'm looking at trying to get another job. And maybe it's not the right one, but I'm just going to pray about it. Really? But you're not a non-participant at all, but now he wants him to be. Why? Because we're asking for something. We need something. But for him, we got nothing. unfortunately, we're talking about the church also. That's the sad part. The worship service is carnal, fleshly. The dress is fleshly about us. The countenance, out of the face, the lifestyle is about us.